God's grace and his mercy be with you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Happy New Year's Eve. Today is that time between two times, between last year and this year, between 2014 and 2015. And when we get to this time of year, I love it because I'm always interested in a new start and a fresh start and doing new things tomorrow. And that's why I usually go to bed fairly early on New Year's Eve, although a lot of people stay up to the ball drops. And then that way I just feel I can start new. I like a fresh start. But as we look at this next year, I want to ask, what kind of confidence can we have as Christians as we look forward to 2015? Do you look forward to it with some fears or trepidations, or do you look forward to it with great expectations and joy? How can we as Christians face this new year with confidence? Let's see what God, our Father in heaven, would tell us about that today in his holy word and look at that together. Are there any guarantees? Well, let's see. First of all, we can see in the word that none of us knows the future, right? None of us knows exactly what this year is going to hold in detail. In fact, we hear that in the Bible, in God's word. James says this in James chapter 4. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town, and we'll spend a year there and trade and get gain, whereas you don't know about tomorrow. What's your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll live and we'll do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. And so there are a lot of people that look toward 2015 saying, I know exactly what I'm going to get. It'll be the same as this last year, and we'll just go on from what we have now to even better things this next year. They claim to be absolutely sure of their plans. But the Word of God says people should not be so confident in themselves about what the year may bring. Proverbs 27 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a year may bring forth. What do you think this year might bring forth for you? God said to the shepherds of Israel in the old days, the pastors, you have no understanding, he says. They say, come, let us get wine, let us fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow will be like this day, great beyond measure. You think a lot of people are partying tonight thinking that same thing? We'll party tonight, we'll live it up, we'll drink, we'll have our fun, our wild times, and tomorrow will be like this one. Well, who knows? We don't know what tomorrow may bring, what the next year may bring. And Jesus told the parable about that same kind of thing, saying the land of a rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have nowhere to store my crops. Ah, this is what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns. I'll build larger ones. There I'll store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods. Laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And these things you've prepared, whose will they be? So is everyone who's rich toward himself and not rich toward God. And so that guy presumed upon the year, right? It's going to be great for me. I'll live long, many days, but it didn't work out that way for him, and God called him a fool. So we shouldn't put our confidence in ourselves as to this next year, for who knows what the next year may bring. For some of us, we might think it's going to be terrible, and it's actually going to be great. And for others in the world, it may be terrible. They may think it's going to be great, and it may be terrible for them. Who knows what the next day may bring? So if that's the case, and we don't know what the future holds, and none of us can know of it in detail what awaits us in this new year, how can we have any confidence about it? How can we have a strong hope that it's going to be a great year for us? Well, I'll tell you, we can. Because even though we don't know the future in any detail, we know the one who holds the future. Amen?
Amen.
That's God, and that's Jesus Christ, and these two we can trust. And for consider, who created time in the first place? What's his name? God, right? Check it out here. Was not a trick question. You think I'm that clever. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then God said, let there be light. There was light. God saw the light was good, separated the light from the darkness, called the light day, the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning one day. Guess who invented time? God did. And then in the fourth day, he put the stars and the sun and the moon in the sky. He says, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And so who is the author of years? That's God. You got the right question, the answer here. This is great. And in 2015, who rules over that year? God does. And so we have a great confidence because he's the author of time. And not only is he the author of time, but guess what? He also knows every detail that's coming up in 2015 for you, for me, and for the world. We don't know it. We walk as if in darkness, but for him, it's just like broad daylight. He sees every detail of it, this God who is our shield. And check what he says here in Isaiah chapter 45. In the days of Isaiah, 700 or so B.C., he prophesies, thus says the Lord to his anointed Cyrus, whose right hand I've grasped, to subdue nations before him and ungird the loins of kings, to open doors before him, etc. I will go before you and level the mountains. Who's God talking to there? A Persian king who's not to come for 300 years, and he names him by name. Just like he named Jeremiah. He knew him before he was born. God set apart Paul before he's born and knew him. And so God knows the things that are yet to come before they occur. Right? And so, in fact, we can look at that. God speaks to Israel in Isaiah 41, telling them to give up on their idols. He says, let them bring them and tell us what will happen. Let the idols prophesy to you. Tell us the former things, what they are, that we may consider them, that we may know their outcome, or declare to us the things yet to come. Tell us what is to come hereafter, that we may know that you're gods. Do good or do harm, that we may be dismayed and terrified. Behold, you're nothing, and your work is not. An abomination is he who chooses you. So idols and people who follow them can't know anything about the future, right? But guess what that teaches us? God does. He knows everything that's going to happen to you in this next year. None of it will come by a surprise to him. It might come as a surprise to you. But the God who sees all things, and you're in his hands, he sees it all as if it's in broad daylight. And that's a beautiful word for us. It may be scary to us if you think about what might happen to you this year, but don't be scared. It's not scary to God, and that's not going to take him off guard. He sees the end from the beginning. It says in Isaiah. So, he's the author of time, he knows the future, and here's another great word, is that he determines the course of events in our lives, our steps, and the steps of nations. Do you believe that? The things of the world? In Job 37, listen to this word. By the breath of God, ice is given, and the broad waters are frozen fast. He loads the thick cloud with moisture. The clouds scatter his lightning. They turn round and round by his guidance to accomplish all that he commands on the face of the habitable world, whether for correction or for his land or for love, he causes it to happen. Think about the wisdom of those words. He causes it to happen on the whole face of the habitable world. Think about that. Not that everybody does his will, and God has a certain permissive will with respect to unbelievers, etc., but it says, God made from one, from Adam, every nation of men to live on the face of all the earth, having determined the allotted periods and the boundaries of their habitation. What's that tell you about countries or America? God sets the boundaries of nations. He determines their allotted periods of people. Does that give you some comfort that these things are not out of control? It says in Isaiah, in Isaiah, at one point, that there were two kings coming up against King Ahaz. And God told Isaiah, go down and meet Ahaz by the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field and declare to him these words. Take heed, be quiet, don't fear, stop being afraid, and don't let your heart faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands. I love that. Just calls these great kings that are coming against him, before whom the king is afraid. They're just smoldering stumps of firebrands. These things are nothing. Don't be afraid at the fierce anger of reason and Syria and the son of Remaliah, says God, because Syria with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah have devised evil against you, saying, let's go up to Judah and terrify it and conquer it for ourselves and set up Tabeel as king in the midst of it. Thus says the Lord, it shall not stand. It shall not come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, the head of Damascus is reason. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be broken to pieces so that it will no longer be a people. Think about that. You think that might be said for us when we're facing fears in our lives? God says, I know all this. I know this at determined times of these things. Don't be afraid of these things. I'll defend the city. I'll defend you. Think of that. God has all these things so in his hand, he knows how many years your enemies will last and when they're going to be no more people. And not from the east and from the west, nor from the wilderness comes lifting up, says Psalm 75, but it's God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another. Think about kings and presidents and Congress and things of which we worry and get so anxious about in life. Guess who's really electing them? Okay? We can pray, and we need to act, and we need to vote, but these things are in God's hand. He's in control. He's the author of time. He knows the future, and he determines it and causes things to happen, all with a purpose, ultimately, in Jesus Christ, to unite all things in him and ultimately subdue all enemies under his footstool. God determines the course of nations. Do you believe that? How about your lives? Does he determine individual lives? Does the scripture say that? Let me give you a couple of good verses here. Proverbs 16, a man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Think about it. How about Proverbs 19? Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that shall be established. Whose purpose is going to come to pass? As long as your plans are in line with his, they'll come to pass. If they're not, sorry. But he's got better ones. A man's steps are ordered by the Lord, Proverbs 20. A man's steps are ordered by the Lord. But then can man understand his way? We don't search it out. We can't figure it out. No wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. Who's going to determine your success in the year to come? I am God, and there is none like me, Isaiah 46 says, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish my purpose. What are you afraid of in the next year? That your purposes won't be established? Don't you know that there's a God who we worship, who's our God, who says, my purpose will be established, and that's what's going to happen. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And my purposes, by the way, for you are good. I know, O Lord, says Jeremiah, that the way of a man is not in himself, that's not in man who walks to direct his steps. This is so countercultural, isn't it? It's so much our culture is like, you determine your own destiny. Well, not really. You walk with God, he'll determine it. And he'll lead you in good paths. Think about my life. I think about how I became a pastor. You know, sometimes I think it seems like I was choosing between being a captain and a pastor, a captain and a pastor. Should I be this? Should I be that? You know what? I did have a choice as I experienced it, but it was really just God leading me through, calling me through these things. Do you know that I would basically, after thinking about captain, pastor, I decided on captain. And when I was in seminary, and then I called up my boss up there in Maine, with whom I'd worked for 2 years, and she says, sorry, not offering you a job this summer, because we need someone to go all the way through, and you're going to go back to seminary, so we don't want someone to go all the way through September. Sorry. So I was like, okay. Do you think that was just this woman's whim, this owner? Or do you think God was closing a door, opening another one here, and though I'm just struggling with it, he's just directing me right on through? And I think sometimes of the ants on the ground. I can basically direct an ant right through two little twigs I've set on the ground without even touching the ant. All I have to do is close off a way here, and I'll make him go right where I want him to. He's making all his little choices as he makes his way across the ground, but I'm just closing doors, opening doors, and he walks right through it. That's how God's working with us. A man's mind plans his way, but the Lord is going to direct your steps. You can have confidence for this year because of these things. Do you think I met Beth by accident? You know, I mean, the events that came to getting us together. Don't you know that God has known our names even before the foundation of the world and written them in the Lamb's Book of Life? if he knows our names, then he knows everybody that's ever going to have sex, to have this person, to that person, this person, for thousands of years until you get to me or to you. So all these things are foreseen by him, and he directs your steps, and he leads us as our good shepherd, Jesus, like we just read. So he knows our future. He, as the author of time, he determines things, but guess what else? He determines them for our good. That's the next piece of good news. He's got a good end in mind for you. No matter what you might think this next life, this next year is going to hold for you, he's bringing things to pass for your ultimate greatest benefit and his greatest glory. He says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And we know that everything God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Remember Joseph? The brothers were afraid of him. You meant it for evil, but God meant all these evil things for good. Because in life, it's not what you know, but who you know. And we know God, who's leading us through this life. In fact, I told you this story some years ago of a friend of my dad's when he was in the Navy. His name was Jack Darby. You know the story, Art. And my dad got out and went into the business world. Jack stayed in the Navy. By the time I was in Cub Scouts, Jack Darby, my dad's friend, was the commander of all Atlantic submarines. I mean, anything that moved the Atlantic, he was in charge of it. So my dad calls up Jack one day and says, hey, remember me, old friend from the Navy? What can you do for my Cub Scout group? Oh, I think we can arrange a few things. So we go out on a nuclear submarine. We have an F-14 flyby for Pac-Den 2, you know. We dive in the submarine and fire out air out of the torpedo tubes. You know what the other Cub Scouts are doing? Building cupcakes. Okay? It's not what you know in life, but who you know. And your God and Jesus Christ, his son, are directing everything toward good ends for you in your life. You know, he knows the days that you have. They're all written in his book before there was yet one of them. You don't have to worry about your death. He's got all that written down. And it's all towards your good. He knows how he's going to feed you in this next year, how he's going to provide for you, how he's going to comfort and encourage you through this next year. He knew the right time to call you to Christ, just like he called Paul at a proper time. Do you know that he's prepared good deeds for you to walk in, as it says in Ephesians 2:11? You're just an actor. He's already written the script. We've got a director and a producer behind the scenes, and he's determined that you're going to be the hero, or Jesus is, but you're going to participate in it. All you got to do is speak the words he puts into your mouth, walk in the things that he's already directed you and prepared for you to walk in. That's easy, you know, even though it's hard. But we might face trials and dangers, but guess what? He says, no temptation is going to overtake you. That's not common to man. I'm faithful, and I'll not let you be tempted beyond your strength. I'll just let you be tempted to a certain place, but I will provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. What do we have to worry about with that? How about with our sufferings? What if you suffer greatly this year? God says, know that you can rejoice in those things because I'm producing in you great things. Endurance, character, hope, and a hope that won't disappoint you because I've poured my Holy Spirit into your hearts. I got great plans in mind for you. God led the people of Israel through the wilderness, through scorpions and thirsty ground and such things. It says to do them good in the end. Do you believe that God's going to do you good in the end? You believe all these things, 2015 is in his hands? We know that in everything, God works good for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose, and what's he planning on doing with you? He's planning on making you this year, by the end of 2015, looking a whole lot more like Jesus Christ than you do right now. And don't we all want to look like that? Full of power, courage, gentleness, kindness, love, faith, good works. And even if the way that we go seems dark and dreary at times, remember God's thoughts are not our thoughts, neither are his ways ours. For the heavens, as they are high above the earth, so are his ways and his thoughts higher than ours. He'll lead you well and faithfully, and he'll conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. Psalm 46 says, God's our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear though the earth should change, though the mountains should shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, even if the mountains tremble with its tumult, there's a river who makes glad the streams of the streams, who makes glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her right early. Ah, isn't that great? Is God in the midst of our congregation? Is God in the midst of your life? He's going to help you right early. Therefore, we can have confidence in this next year. Though it's dark to us, it's broad daylight to him. And our future, I'll tell you, ultimately is secured by that cross, by Jesus there, because he died for our sins. He rose again from the dead. He declares you justified and redeemed by faith in him. And that destines you already for a predetermined end of triumph in heaven and a triumph over all your foes. For behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. He's our help, and he's our shield, and our heart is glad in him. So he's our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. In Jesus' name, amen.